As you know, it's important to me that the supplements I recommend and use are of the highest quality. That's why I stock the Protocol for Life Balance product line at my online dispensary, drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. Protocol for Life Balance offers a wide range of professional-grade products using ingredients backed by strong scientific research, including a suite of supplements for digestive support, handle tougher digestive problems, and larger, more complex meals with GI Guard AM, enzymes HCL, oregano oil, and peppermint oil, GI. This premium collection may help to maintain the integrity of your stomach lining and promote gastric comfort, help reduce occasional bloating, indigestion, heartburn, gas, and other normal diet-related digestive disturbances, as well as maintain healthy intestinal flora balance. For more information and to order, just go to drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. That's drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. Protocol for Life Balance is an A-rated GMP manufacturer of premium dietary supplements. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly opportunity to answer your questions. Questions come to questions@drhoffman.net. With me today is Layla Mutin, who is our resident nutritionist, and each week we endeavor to field your questions and also respond to your comments via questions@drhoffman.net. So how are you doing, Layla?
Okay, Dr. Hoffman, how are you?
Very well, thanks. As summer proceeds, we're a little bit in the dog days of August. It is, high temperatures, lots of humidity.
It's a little bit
of a pea soup kind of weather here in New York.
Yeah.
But this too shall pass. Mm-hmm. So we'll enjoy whatever remains of the summer. Hopefully provide you with some information as you huddle in your air-conditioned homes and apartments,
right?
trying to beat the heat, or perhaps you're poolside, listening to the podcast. So, or perhaps I don't know. Maybe who knows? Maybe you're in some cool destination. You're in Alaska or Norway or British Columbia, enjoying a little bit of a respite from urban heat in the U.S. We have a bunch of questions. I want to get to questions in just a moment. But I want to share with you, there's actually an interesting series in The Guardian, which is, I guess, the UK equivalent of the New York Times. And it's by an interesting guy. It's a guy who's an investigative journalist who personally had type 2 diabetes. His name is Neil Barsky, and he happened upon a solution to his type 2 diabetes. He went on a very low-carb kind of quasi-keto diet, lost a ton of weight, and has normalized his blood sugar. So he became an acolyte of the low-carb lifestyle. And he writes a series of interesting articles. It's actually going to be the basis for a newsletter article that I'm writing for the newsletter next week. He points out that there is a mega disparity in healthcare in the U.S. It turns out that there are more than 100,000 Americans who have diabetes who have limbs amputated each year. And the stark fact about that, you know, we talk a lot about, healthcare inequality, blah, 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 there's some real stark inequality in this area. Less affluent Americans with diabetes are more than four times more likely to have limbs amputated than affluent Americans with diabetes. And African Americans are mind-blowing four times as likely to suffer amputations than white Americans, three times as likely to suffer from peripheral artery disease, which is formerly known as claudication. He also points out in the article is that many of these folks who, I don't know, maybe it's a matter of health literacy or access to sophisticated healthcare. They just don't know that there is an option, a low-carb diet. And they profile an African-American woman whose name is Keshwani, She'd been in and out of the hospital several times. Her feet were numb. She had foot ulcers, and a foot amputation appeared inevitable. But then she met a low-carb doctor, a doctor who is one of the few infectious disease and obesity physicians in the country, who utilize a low-carb diet in their treatments of diabetic wounds. And so she learned about it. She embraced it. She stripped sugar and carbs from her diet, and her blood sugar numbers plummeted. She had better circulation, and ultimately she saved her feet and lower extremities.
Fantastic.
So it's a matter of education. He also points out, he's done a series of kind of exposés in The Guardian, and what he points out is that there are problems with the organization, which is kind of a lead organization that advocates for diabetics in this country. And recently, they had the chief of the FDA, whose name is Robert Califf, whose response to the COVID pandemic I actually find kind of disappointing. But when it comes to diabetes, you know, he was hosted as the keynote speaker at the ADA convention, and he actually chastised them. He said, quote, "For the larger epidemic of type 2 diabetes," there's, by the way, 38 million Americans with type 2 diabetes. He says, yeah, "We're failing right now." And he says, "I don't say that lightly." And it turns out that the ADA is sponsored to a large extent by big pharma, you know, pharmaceutical industry sponsorship.
And when you say ADA, just so everybody knows, that's the American Diabetes Association.
As opposed to the American Dietetic Association, yes.
Right, which is now the Academy of Dietetics and Nutrition, AND, rather than ADA.
Right.
So ADA is the American Diabetes Association, and they're terrible. They're absolutely terrible.
Yeah. And,
he's right.
And among their sponsors, it's the Idaho Potato Commission, you know, not really something that we want to include a lot of in a diabetic diet. And Splenda, also another supporter, the a dialysis mega corporation called DaVita. They run a chain of dialysis centers across the country.
They push dialysis.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, what's the major pathway to dialysis? It's diabetes.
And which leads to kidney disease and renal failure, and guess what? Yeah. Dialysis.
So now what's interesting is that there was a recent hushed up legal settlement by a whistleblower who was working for the American Diabetes Association, and she was a nutritionist, and they pushed her to include diets that were recipes that were, in her opinion, less than healthy. Which included ingredients like Splenda and relatively high-carb foods. And Barsky writes, quote, "A cloak of silence has descended over the recent whistleblower lawsuit complaining that the American Diabetes Association, or the ADA, accepted corporate money in return for recommending recipes that threaten the health of people with diabetes." So the complainant, the whistleblower, her name is Hannah, accepted a settlement from the ADA that was no doubt simpler and less stressful and risky alternative to a trial. But Barsky points out that it would have been a great opportunity at trial to expose the inner workings of the ADA, which he calls a patient advocacy organization up to its eyeballs in big business funding.
Yeah.
So basically, they threw money at this whistleblower.
To shut her up.
Basically, right? Yeah.
And hush money.
Yeah. So, and we do see, you know, outlandish recipes from them. Sometimes you see this on social media, like, oh, this wonderful low carb, you know, and it's what? It's not really low carb, and it's often full of artificial sweeteners.
Some kind of cereal.
Yeah, cereals and things like that. Yeah, you know, we also have instances where the Olympics is sponsored by soft drink manufacturers. Coca-Cola, I think, is one of the largest underwriters, if not the largest underwriter of the Olympics. There's an effort to get that out. There's actually an initiative called kickbigsodaout.org, which wants to
really
persuade the Olympics to demonstrate its commitment to improving the world through sport by stopping its association with Coca-Cola. And, you know, I think there's some movement afoot to try and turn this ship around. But, you know, you've been in the vanguard of this, as I have. You know, you've worked for the late, great Dr. Atkins in the beginning of your career before he passed away, and then got a job with me. It was been like 20 years, right? 20 years?
Oh, my gosh. I joined you in 2005.
Oh, goodness gracious. So we'll celebrate our 20th anniversary.
Yes.
Seems like yesterday. Great. So the point being is, you know, we're the good guys. We're on the right side of this. You know, there is a wonderful opportunity to turn this around for the millions of sufferers of this condition, which, by the way, I note in my article that, you know, when I started medicine in the 1970s, 1980s, we referred it to, you know, there are two types of diabetes. There was juvenile onset diabetes and there was adult onset diabetes. And juvenile onset was, you know, when your pancreas failed and it stopped producing insulin and then you needed insulin, type 1 diabetes. And then there was adult onset diabetes. Well, we don't use those terms anymore. Why? Because kids now have they both have juvenile onset and they now also have adult onset diabetes, which is associated with obesity and insulin resistance. About 40 years that I've been in my medical career, things have shifted to the point where now many children have what was formerly termed adult onset diabetes, which was an anomaly when I started medicine. So, I mean, we've got a problem. We got to address it. I think we're in the vanguard of providing better alternatives for people with what is now called type 2 diabetes. Anyway, onward and upward with questions. You know, perhaps before we get to questions, it's an opportunity to acknowledge one of our sponsors and share an important message. So listen up. Here goes.
Are you tired of feeling tired? Do you wish you could turn back the clock on aging? NT-Factor Lipids is the breakthrough supplement that's scientifically proven to repair and renew your body's cells. NT-Factor Lipids are identical to the phospholipids found in your cellular membranes. They've been shown to repair mitochondrial damage, a primary cause of biological aging. In clinical trials, NT-Factor therapy resulted in a 26.8% increase in mitochondrial function, restoring it to levels found in young adults. NT-Factor has also been shown to reduce fatigue by up to 43%, and has even been shown to significantly reduce a wide range of symptoms and improve the quality of life in patients with various conditions like chronic fatigue and those undergoing chemotherapy. I've been using NT-Factor for years and prescribe it for my patients. You can find the NT-Factor line of nutritional formulas at your favorite health food store or online retailer. Or to order direct, call 800-982-9158, 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com.
Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They are what make intelligent medicine continuing free resource to you. And that's the way we like it. And, you know, incidentally, one of the things I'm going to write about is, do you know who Travis Kelce is? I guess you don't follow sports in your popular culture, but he is the boyfriend of Taylor Swift, but he's also a football hero because he's the tight end for the Super Bowl winning Kansas City Chiefs. And he and his brother, by the way, he's retired from football and now he's all about, you know, getting endorsements and making a ton of money. And he's got a long way to go because his girlfriend's a billionaire and there's nothing as deflating for a macho man as having a girlfriend making more money than you make. Right. So
you know what? Here's the thing. I've only heard him referred to as Taylor Swift's boyfriend. I did not know his name until you just told me.
He has another claim to fame, which is as an athlete. and he's good. You know, there's no question. He's a hard charging tight end. He catches a lot of balls, scores a lot of touchdowns. Travis and his brother, Jason, are collaborating with General Mills to launch a new breakfast cereal. The cereal, Kelsey Mix, contains a combination of the breakfast favorites. The breakfast favorites are following. They include, let's see, you know, all the worst.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Can I guess?
Go. Try
it. Is this some kind of combo? Some kind of combo of, say, a Cocoa Puffs, a Fruit Loops, some kind of a Chex Mix?
You're on the right track. Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Lucky Charms, and Reese's Puffs. There's a cereal that actually replicates, you know, the Reese's Pieces.
Peanut butter cups?
Yes. All in one box. It's like a special edition. So they've gotten a lot of flack on X, you know, and on social media for endorsing that. And they defended. They said, well, look, you know, if you have this occasionally, you know, we grew up eating cereal. Well, I mean, they're athletes and they, you know, they weigh 260 pounds and they're, you know, all muscle and they, you know, work out pulling, you know, 400 pound sleds, you know, and hitting tackling dummies. But is it a good message for the kids of America? And I point this out, you know, when we talk about our sponsors, I get a lot of offers. We could get more expensive underwriting from products that, you know, I would consider a little dubious, but hey, their money's good, right? As long as it's, you know, denominated in U.S. dollars and their checks don't bounce.
It can't be about the money. What about integrity?
But I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. So, you know, I just don't understand, you know, like these guys make so much money. Why do you do this? Why? It's a disservice to the children of America that you are role models for that. I mean, it used to be like, okay, I get it. You know, athletes, Wheaties, at least Wheaties was, you know, kind of refined carbohydrates, but it wasn't drenched in sugar. It was, you know, it was like, you know, if you were a super athlete, you'd be on the Wheaties box. You know, maybe they didn't even realize that that's not a good way to control your blood sugar, but it's actually,
you know, I can't imagine that either, but you know, they were captured by money.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
I can't imagine in this day and age, more and more people are aware of, you know, the wool being pulled over the general public's eyes about the way to eat right.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I call upon them to make it right by, you know, abrogating their agreement and maybe donating to, you know, some sort of foundation to address childhood diabetes and obesity. You know, maybe they can clean it up in aisle four, you know, because.
Right.
It's a major misstep.
Right.
Anyway.
Well, I have a bit to add to that, as long as they're not donating to a pharmaceutical-based answer for the diabetes problem.
Exactly. you know, although, you know, look, these people need drugs when they have diabetes.
No, that's true. That's true. Absolutely.
What are you gonna
do? God bless medication, but type 2 is a lifestyle choice.
Yeah. And how many times have we gotten people off of medication? I mean,
It is so gratifying to see that, because people have come to us over the years. And when I tell them, you know, they're not just going to manage your diabetes, we're going to reverse it. We're going to make it go away. And they look at me like I've got two heads.
Yeah.
Until they see it happen.
And they ask, you know, when their hemoglobin A1C is 5.5, they ask, do I still have diabetes? And I go, well, in a way you don't, but it is lurking as a susceptibility. And if you go back to your old ways, those numbers will revert. You know, they'll start with a hemoglobin A1C of like 9, 10, 11, 12. We've seen as high as 14. And then, you know, we can turn the ship around. Anyway, let's get off the soapbox and start answering questions, which is our job here on Q&A.
We've got a comment here from Robert, who says, thank you for your independence. Keep the faith. He says, Dr. Hoffman, I stumbled across your 2020 Federal Trade Commission warning letter and followed that to your website.
Mm-hmm.
Given what we now know about the government's overreach and misleading dictates about the Wuhan virus, I hope you were eventually able to stick it to him.
Wow. This gives me an opportunity to relate a story that I think most of you have not heard. And this was during the COVID pandemic. And at the time, nobody knew what to do about COVID. This is before vaccines. This is before even, you know, medications like Paxlovid, antivirals, and there were no answers. And the New York Times wrote an article saying, there is no evidence that supplements have any role to play in the treatment or prevention of COVID. And I wrote a rebuttal in our newsletter, which took issue with that. And what I wrote is that while there are no studies that show that this or that or the vitamin or herb or anything can be helpful for COVID, there are a lot of precedents that show that this or that, I mentioned, things like mushroom extracts, and I mentioned, things like vitamin D, of course, and zinc and vitamin C. And I mentioned, I just went through a whole panoply of things, including, various nutraceuticals. Nowhere in the article did I claim that this was a cure for COVID. Then COVID really hit hard and our office was closed, and people stayed home.
Yeah.
This is a time where, people were sequestering. And I got a call from a colleague of mine and he said, "Hey, Ron, how are you doing?" I said, "I'm okay. I mean, it's kind of a bummer that, all this is going on and I'm home, but I've been well, I haven't had COVID." And he said, well, what about that trouble you're having with the FDA? And I said, "The FDA?" I said, "I don't think I have any, I don't know if I have any trouble with the FDA. I don't use any unauthorized drugs or anything like that. Sometimes if you use a non-approved medication or something like that, like something from, from Germany that is not approved here, and you give it in an IV to a patient in the United States, the FDA might step in and say, So I said, "FDA, I don't know." I said, "Well," he said, "Well, I heard that the government was going after you." I said, "Well, I have no idea what you mean." But I was curious. So I looked at FDA, I looked at the FDA website and there was nothing. And then I looked at the FTC website and I noticed that they had launched a task force against COVID fraud. And there was all kinds of crazy stuff going on there. There were people who were saying that they would sell you, devices like that would send out vibrations that would shatter the viral envelope. And so, FTC was sending them warning letters saying that, what their proposed COVID cure was, a violation of government regulations. And I kind of, when I saw 20 or so companies that had been sent warning letters, and then to my amazement, I saw FTC versus Ronald Hoffman, MD. And I said,
"Oh my God,
what the," and I clicked on it and there was a warning letter there saying that you have made claims that this or that or the other thing can be helpful for COVID. You are enjoined to stop. And so,
wow.
So in a few days we were able to go back to the office and I realized that I received, and oh, by the way, they said you have 5 days to fix this. And it was dated like a week before. So I was already in violation. So I got to the office and I saw that there was a letter that had been sent to the office, but the office was closed and I hadn't been to the office. And so I had no opportunity to read the letter. They sent it to my professional address. And it was a copy of this complaint. And so, first thing I did is I called a lawyer and he listened to this. He goes, this is really, really bad. I said, whoa. This is like when you go to the doctor and you have like, a little lump or something. And the doctor says, "This is really bad." It's like, is it cancer? how long do I have to live? And his answer was, I said, "What do you mean bad?" He said, "Well, how much longer do you plan to stay in practice?" And I said, "What do you mean? You mean I'm going to have to give up my medical license for this?" And I said, "Yeah, this is really serious." So I said, "Look, I'm going to thank you for your opinion. Let me get back to you. And I called another attorney who happens to be just a friend of mine. You know, just
I'm like so glad you did.
A buddy. And he said, look, what I noticed is that a lot of the people, there were actually some of my colleagues who had also had similar actions against them because they wrote articles saying that this or that or the other supplement could be helpful. I said, what do they want us to do? And he says, well, like a lot of people, including Mercola, Joe Mercola was one of the leading people. And he's been like,
yes,
you know, like the, the disinformation dozen, you know, like, and he's,
yes.
So he was branded as a, you know, COVID misinformation guy. I never made the dozen, you know, I guess I'm not that important. But, you know, I was lumped in with people like Mercola and Kara Fitzgerald. And what they did is they simply took it down. They immediately took down the information. They're just like, okay, we're not going to put out this information anymore. So when I spoke to this attorney, the attorney said, look, he says, you have the option of just taking it down and this will go away. But he said, if you take it down, it's kind of like an admission of guilt. And this might result in actions that could threaten your medical license. You could actually be brought up on professional discipline. There was a climate of like hunting down doctors who were suggesting alternatives. True. And by the way, I wasn't even suggesting, hydroxychloroquine. I wasn't suggesting ivermectin or anything like that. I wasn't telling people not to get a vaccine because there was no vaccine available. So, but he said, you know, we should try, you know, if you want, we should try to fight this, but, you know, it would involve some expenditure. And so I said, look, you're a friend, but I'll pay you your usual rate because I don't think this is just, I want to fight this. So he writes, he writes this like 97 page legal brief, which he sends off to them basically saying it's a violation of Dr. Hoffman's right, his First Amendment, you know, his free speech rights, because he was just commenting, it's his free speech right to opine about this, blah, 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 blah. So the FTC basically came back and said, thank you very much for your lengthy dissertation, but we still think Dr. Hoffman is in violation and we want him to cease and desist. And so, you know, after going back and forth a little bit, he said to me, look, this is going to get really expensive. You know, you're going to have to go to, and if you want, you could do this, but it's going to cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars. They'll either put you into an administrative proceeding, which is basically a kangaroo court by the FTC, or they'll refer to the Justice Department for prosecution. The Justice Department is pretty relentless. You know, it's like, you don't want to be messing with a gent because they have unlimited resources and they can really, really hurt you.
They can bankrupt you.
This situation kind of parallels what we're now talking about with Nathan Jones from Clear, XLEAR, because he's also fighting government, but he's actually gone to that stage where he has spent hundreds of thousands and perhaps even, you know, over $1 million in a battle with the government because it's a principled fight. I think he's going to prevail. So I said, they said in their communication to us, that Dr. Hoffman put us this information without a clear disclaimer. And I said, before we go to battle with them and go to big ticket legal expenses, why don't you just ask them what kind of disclaimer they want? And I don't see a problem with putting up a disclaimer.
He says
it's not going to work, but we'll do it. You know, here's where sometimes you got to suggest a strategy to your attorney. You got to be a good client. So he said, well, it's not going to work, but we'll do it anyway. He says, to our surprise, they came back and said, yes, we would like a disclaimer. So I said, ask them what kind of disclaimer, and we'll actually put up the disclaimer. And so they said the disclaimer was basically that no therapies have been proven to help or prevent COVID.
Yes.
According to the latest scientific evidence, and that these are merely opinions based on research that's not related to COVID. Mm-hmm. And I said, fine, let's put it up. And that was the end of the story, you know, thousands of dollars later. But what kind of irked me is I said, this is kind of embarrassing. I am still in perpetuity on the internet. You know, the internet is immortal.
Yes.
And I am branded as a quack on the internet because the FTC has this case, and it's very embarrassing. So I asked my attorney about it. He says, what can I do about it? He says, well, you know, you could sue them and fight them and try and have it taken down. But again, that's going to be very expensive. But he says, don't worry about it because nobody pays attention to it. Well, some people do pay attention to it. And there's I would sue for reputational damage, because what has been borne out is that many of these things are correct, is that there's, you know, a lot of substantiation for the notion that certain things help to support resilience and immunity and can make a difference for COVID. And so my statements essentially were not untrue. They were a little speculative, but, you know, they weren't heresy, or they certainly weren't dangerous misinformation. But this listener proves that people do go to the internet, but now I'm kind of proud of it. To me, this is kind of like a red badge of courage. It's like a purple heart in the battle against bureaucracy. And I think I was in the right place at the right time, notwithstanding the besmirchment of my reputation by being the brunt of an attack by the government for essentially, you know, COVID quackery. And so, the lyric, I fought the law, but the law won. I fought the law, but I fought it to a draw, basically.
Right.
And, you know, for an important principle. And I also, in the process, I think I kind of wisely dodged a bullet that could have embroiled me in, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars of litigation unnecessarily.
Isn't it frightening? Yeah.
Because they can,
just the litigation itself is bankrupting.
They can break
most people.
They can break you because they have no skin in the game. You know, so, but look, they were happy to get rid of me because it would have been a drain on their resources unnecessarily. And, you know, they have bigger fish to fry. You know, they can go after Google. They can go after.
Right. You know, wish they would.
Which they just have. You know, they can go after, you know, some of the big, big monopolies, you know, that kind of.
True. Well, Robert says, keep the faith. Thank you for your independence. People have noticed, Dr. Hoffman, you know, sticking to your principles is important.
And finally, Absolutely. You know, as a final note, you know, and I just want to put in a plug for the Alliance for Natural Health, of which I'm president, which is really fighting a battle to push back against the throttling down of truthful health information. And I think, you know, mine was an example of that. I think that there are instances where people put out, you know, flaky information. But I think it's important that, you know, there be a town hall kind of forum where information can be out there. And look, if it's spurious information, it can be rebutted. It can be rebutted, you know, and I have faith in the ability of people to discern what is, true information and what is, spurious information. I mean, it's one thing to advocate for the killing or the murder of some people. You know, that's, I think that's not a form of free speech which should be condoned. You know, on the other hand, you know, I think that free speech is an important way that we advance ideas.
Absolutely. As long as America remains, knock wood.
Yeah. Well, this is a big issue going forward. So anh-usa.org, we have a free speech for health campaign at freespeechforhealth.org.
Yeah.
Is the landing page for that campaign. And, you know, we'd love to have you involved.
Go check it out, everybody.
Yep.
Yeah. Go check it out.
All right. Okay. I think we fixed with that one question, but I think it was an important question. We've expended our first half. So let's see if we can do a little bit of a lightning round with questions in part two. Give us a preview of what one of the questions we're going to tackle.
I'm from Belgium, and I'm interested in naturopathy and functional medicine.
Wonderful.
Could you recommend a school?
Oh, fantastic. We'll tackle that when we return. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. You're listening to Q&A with Layla, a weekly feature on the Intelligent Medicine podcast series. Questions at dearhoffman.net. mitochondrialfunction.net is the place to send questions or comments. When we return, we'll address that question and more. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.